Now, in your Bibles today, 1 Kings chapter number 17. 1 Kings chapter number 17. And I'm going to be preaching about one of my favorite people in the Bible. Elijah seems to be one of my favorite people. But I want to read one verse, 1 Kings 17 and verse number 5. The Bible said, "So he went and dwelt according, and he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is, before Jordan." Now, our Father, as we come to you this day, we thank you for the privilege of preaching the Word of God. We don't take it lightly. Lord, help me to say what I should say, and nothing I should not, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Elijah has just been to the palace. Now, before that, Elijah had been in prayer. In the book of James, James adds some commentary to the life of Elijah, when he talks about that he prayed earnestly that it might not rain for the space of 3 years and 6 months. And of course, God gave Elijah the word to say to Ahab. The Bible said in verse number 1 of chapter 17, Elijah said to him, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall be no dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." Now, he's talking about the word of the Lord, not the word of Elijah. And so Elijah goes to the palace. And that ought to be a great honor for anybody to get to speak before a king. But there was a situation here that Ahab did not like the message. You see, Ahab was not a Christian or a believer, or Ahab was not, my friend, one that feared God. And Ahab's government was a sponsor of Baal worship and religion. Baal worship had the priority in that day. And so Elijah would have to be taken care of by God because of the fact that the king of Israel would have killed him if he could have got a hold of him. So God does something interesting here. God tells Elijah to go hide himself by a brook. And God tells him really two things that's going to happen. Well, first of all, let me point this out to you, that a brook was a runoff from excess rain. So Elijah may be thinking, "Lord, what in the world are you doing? I mean, this is going to dry up in a little while." But Elijah was obedient to God's word. And so then he told him to go dwell by the brook, and he told Elijah to do two things. One natural, or he told him really two things that was going to occur. He told him one natural thing for him to do, and then God was going to do a supernatural thing. Now, the natural thing was, he said, "I want you to drink of the water of the brook." And Elijah drank the water of the brook. But then God, that was a natural thing. By the way, God will never do supernaturally what you and I can do naturally, okay? So then he tells him, he said, "I have, past tense, commanded the ravens to feed thee there." And God was going to bring a supernatural thing into Elijah's life. But now God did this, I believe, to slow Elijah down a little bit. And Elijah was probably going to learn some patience by the brook. Now, Elijah had 3.5 years before it would rain again, and Elijah didn't know where he's going to be those 3.5 years, but he followed the Lord. And let me say that in our lifetime, patience is something that we all need. Patience is something that I do not pray for. For the Bible said, "Tribulation worketh patience." I don't want any more trouble in my life, but sometimes God puts us through trials and tests to make us patient. So I want to talk about today the patience of Elijah. The patience of Elijah. Number one, I want you to notice the precept for the patience. The word of God. The precept. 1 Kings chapter number 17, verse number 2. "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying." Now let me say that if you're going to be patient with God, you're going through a trial, everything must line up with the word of God. One fellow said this. He said, there's not nothing wrong with waiting, provided you know what you're waiting for, you see. But I do believe that we need a generation, and I believe we're living in a generation that knows nothing or almost nothing about waiting upon the Lord. And here's Elijah now. He's going to be slowed down. Now, he went to the king's palace, and that was public. But now something's going to happen to Elijah in private. The word of God comes to him. Now, let me say this. You know what keeps us going in a trial and a trouble? The word of God. You know what keeps me going during my Christian life? I've been saved for 44 years, and I've been through a lot of stuff in my life. But you know, when I got into my darkest hour, my darkest times, the Word of God kept me going. The promises of this Bible, the promises that God would see me through. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Or maybe, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Or maybe, lo, I am with thee always, even unto the end of the world. Or, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Or, but my God shall supply your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I mean, there's several things in the Bible that God gives to keep a Christian going. Amen. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Now listen, God's working on me still. And so when I go through a trial or a trouble, that's God working. And God uses the Word of God. Elijah's guidebook for life was the Word of God. And I want to say that I wish we could get back to a day and an hour when our guidebook would be the Bible. I see, and I don't want to pick on anybody, but I see preachers today, and they're so impatient. I mean, they can't wait on a work. They can't wait on a church. They go into campaign mode. I mean, they got to have a position. And one fella told one of the great old men of yesterday, he said, well, I just got to, get myself out there if I want the breaks. And the fella said, no, he don't need that. He said, you don't need the breaks, you just need God. Ladies and gentlemen, I just need to believe that God will put me where he needs me to be. And God, do you think about this? God moved the whole world to get Mary and Joseph out of Nazareth to Bethlehem, where Jesus was supposed to be born. And if God can move the whole world just to get three people where he needs to get them, I believe God can take care of you and me, don't you? Amen. The Word of God. Amen. All right, now, number two, I want you to notice this. I want you to notice the protection. Not the precept, but the protection. Notice 1 Kings 17:3. Get thee, hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith. And that is before Jordan. Now, God told him where to turn. God told him where to go. And this was for his protection. Hide thyself. Now let me say that sometimes while we're waiting on God, God is protecting us from other things. I'll give you an illustration like this. I waited many years for a wife. But God protected me during those years. He was protecting me from the devil and getting the wrong person. I got to tell you, the number one thing I believe in a young person that the devil majors on is getting them into the wrong relationship with the wrong person. I've preached this for years. I don't know how to say it any different. I don't know how to say it any plainer. But you'd better marry inside the will of God. And you better make sure that who you marry has the same convictions and the same zeal for God that you do. Because you will not pull them up. They will pull you down. Young lady, you will never pull him up. He'll pull you down. Young man, you will never pull her up. She will pull you down. I could take you to men today. I could take you to men today. They'd tell you, preacher, I'm married wrong. I can't do what I want to do because my wife won't go along with it. I could take you to some women today, and if they'd be truthful, they'd probably say, I'm not doing what I ought to be doing because I'm married wrong, and my husband just not with God like he ought to be. Ladies and gentlemen, we live in an age, and somebody told me about somebody that put a book out. I've not read the book, but they said somebody put a book out that said you can marry who you wanted to and work where you want to. Well, there's only one thing wrong with that. The Bible don't back that up at all. My friend, the Bible says that God ought to be present in every decision that you and I make in life. Amen. I mean, God ought to be where you work. God ought to be where you marry. God ought to be where you go to church. You don't just pick a church. Somebody said, well, I'm going to leave that church and go over here because they got more for the young people. Well, are you putting God first or are you putting your kids first? It don't matter what they've got. What matters is where God tells you to. I remember one time we were unsettled about where we need to be in church. And I was in a certain church, and God told me, he said, I want you to go to this other church, and this is where I want you to be. And I thought, Lord, I don't want to go there, and I give God a reason why I didn't want to go there. God said, I said, get over there. And brother, my ministry flourished more in that church than probably it did, had done the whole time of my ministry. And I'm going to tell you, there's nothing like being where God wants you to be. Now, this brook might have seemed out of the way. This brook may not have been part of the plan. This brook, Elijah, I don't know what his plans were when he left Ahab. Nobody knows. The Bible does not record that. But God said, go down there by the brook. God said, turn thee eastward. Now, in the Bible, eastward is always the direction of God. Remember, Moses was on the backside of the desert, and he was going west. He was going away from God. God got his attention. But eastward is always toward God in the Bible. He said, I want you to come over here, Elijah. I'm already over here. So you come over here now. I'm going to protect you. Now, what Elijah may not have understood is that Ahab would have killed him if he had got a chance. I mean, the king was wicked. And the last thing the king wanted to hear was, there's going to be 3.5 years of famine on my land. The last thing the king wanted to hear was, God's going to judge my sin. I mean, Jezebel was wicked from the top of her head to the sole of her feet. She was a wicked, wicked woman. And she didn't want to hear the judgment of God. And Ahab didn't want to hear that. And by the way, that's just like the world we're living in today. They don't want to hear a preacher that'll preach judgment. They're like the book of Isaiah. They say, prophesy unto me smooth things. You know, tell me how good everything's going to be. Well, I can't tell you that, but I can tell you this. I know God will take care of us. Somebody said, what in the world is us Christians going to do in a time like this? We're going to do what we've been doing. We're going to pray and sing and shout and trust the Lord and do what we've been doing. Amen. Well, there's the precept of it. Amen. Yes, there's the precept. And then there is the protection. Amen. God took him down by the brook and hid him there. And then I want you to notice this. There's the privacy. Notice verse number 3, hide thyself by the brook Cherith. There's the privacy. Now, I want to stop right here because I want to tell you something. Sometimes God wants us to be patient so he can work with us in private. Ladies and gentlemen, we live in a noisy age. We really do. We live in an hour when people have to have something on all the time. They ride down the road. They have the radio on. Now, I'm glad you got the radio on because I'm a radio preacher. I want you to have the radio on because I want you to listen to the radio. But they have the radio on and they're not listening. They have the TV on. They're not listening. You know what it is? You go in a store somewhere. They got music playing in the background. You know what? We are a society of noise. Now, here's what that does. When you've all the time got noise in your life, it hinders you from hearing the Holy Ghost, the most important person in your life. And God sometimes will take us by the private brook of life, the out-of-the-way place. God will take us by that place and get us in private where that we can do something for God. Did you know, I heard one preacher say this, and I agree with him. He said, the battles are not won in public, but the battles are won in the secret place of prayer and private. You wonder why you're so defeated. And everything in life bothers you just like a wave on the sea. You're up one day, you're down the next, you're up one day. Let me tell you why. You're not winning the battle in the private place. Now, God had Elijah over here in the private, in the privacy. Baal had 400 prophets. Ahab had all kinds of prophets. Ahab had the noise. Ahab, remember those prophets of Baal in chapter 18? I mean, they're crazy. I mean, they were making all kind of noise. They were cutting themselves in knives. I mean, boy, they had a meeting now. I mean, if you want to go to an exciting meeting in the flesh, you'd have want to went to a Baal revival. I mean, they were having a meeting. I mean, they got so happy, they're cutting themselves. And leave me out of that kind of meeting. Amen. When you bring the knives out, I'm going home, brother. Amen. I'm not going to stay in church service. When you bring the knives out and go to cutting, Brother Ricky said, it's time to go. Amen. I'm leaving. But the deal is, you know what? You know why? That Elijah could go and pray fire down at the evening sacrifice according to the book of Leviticus or the book of Numbers, I believe it was. And he did that in order. God had sent fire down at the tabernacle and Elijah knew that and he did it according to the word of God. But you know how he could do it? Because he had spent some time in private. Now you see, some people feel like that a time of privacy is a waste. But let me tell you something. The patience of a man will slow him down. God will slow you down sometimes and put you in those private places. And it's just you and God. And you think, Lord, I'm not promoting myself. I'm not getting any meetings. And the devil will use this. I'm not getting any younger. I'm older. I've got to go. I've got to get on social media and let folk know I'm available. Why don't you get on your knees and let heaven know that you're available? Vance Havner said, Lord, use me. And the Lord said, Vance, I'm using you about all I can. You see, the thing with it is this, God will use you. I heard my pastor preach a message and one time and it stirred my heart and I've quit praying the prayer, Lord, use me. I quit praying that prayer. You say, preacher, how come? Well, the Bible said, present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Can I tell you, God will use you if you will be available. God's not looking for your ability, for God has all ability. But God is looking for your availability. And God wants you in the private places of life sometimes where He can deal with you, where He can help you. And brother, time in the Bible and time in prayer is not wasted time. Nowadays, preachers would rather cut corners and get an outline and make a bunch of friends and get a big church. Well, you can have that. You can have all that. But I'll say this to you, you just remember this on your ministry. There's a difference between God using a man and man using a man. Now, I'm not saying, you know, but I'm not saying God will use anybody that will let Him use them. But I believe this, you're going to have to get in private, and God's going to have to teach you some things. And you say, well, now, is that going to happen just one time in my life? No. I believe it's going to happen all through your life. I used to have this idea, and I don't know where I really got it at. But I had the idea that you'd go through one big trial in your life and then boom, God would bring you out and boy, you'd be preaching meetings and you'd be preaching revivals. It don't work that way. Brother, when I got saved, I became a student. I became a son. I became a student. I became a servant. I became salt. I became a shining light. Amen. I became a soldier. That's what the Bible said. I became a saint. But one thing I did when I got saved is I became a student. And for 44 years, I've been trying to learn about this God that I worship. I've been trying, and here's what happens. God wrote everything in the King James Bible that He wants me and you to know about Him. And it is my job to find out about God. Did you know God don't just come and start dumping a revelation upon you and revealing Himself? No, sir. Did you know God fixed it where you have to work for revelation? Let me give you an illustration. The Bible said in 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verse 15, study. To show thyself approved unto God. Now what's the next word? A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We leave that workman out. You see, folk have left work altogether out of their vocabulary. I will tell you preachers something. I love you. God will never use a lazy preacher. That's why God did never use Ricky Cothran like He could have. I will stand in the judgment seat of God. For wasting time and hours and days and hours and time. And the older I get, the realize I don't have those hours and days to waste anymore. I must spend them working for God and doing God's will. And so God sometimes will put you in the privacy of the brook. By the way, a brook's refreshing. Elijah could just reach down there and get him a drink of water. And all the time, by the way, enjoy your time, young preacher, that you're waiting on God. Oh, but if I could just have a church. Oh, but if I could just pastor a church. Well, if I could have a church, I'd pray night and day. Why don't you pray night and day before you get it then? Oh, but if I could just have a church, I'd do this. That's what I used to say. And then when I got a church, I didn't do any better than I did before I got one much. Amen. But here's what you do. Stay with God. And don't waste your, don't look down on your private time as a waste. If God's got you in a waiting pattern and you're waiting on the Lord, then you just be still and use that time to learn about God. Use that time to get full of the Holy Ghost. Shout, sing, have a good time, and enjoy the privacy. For everybody needs a little bit of rest every once in a while. Everybody needs to come apart. You see, this world is so busy, 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 busy. And unfortunately, I'm afraid it's in our churches. We have the idea today somehow that the busier we get, the more we impress God. Well, I think God's impressed by slowing down sometimes. I think God's impressed by privacy. Amen. He talked about when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which pray to thy Father which seeth in secret. I'm not quoting that right. Amen. Matthew 6:6. Amen. But anyway, he said, thy Father which is in secret shall reward thee openly. Men, I want to say something to you. You know, you don't get filled with the Holy Ghost for a show. And I used to think that. I thought, well, I'm going to pray and get filled with God. Boy, everybody'll know I'm filled with God when I walk in the pulpit. But you know, really, the filling of the Holy Ghost is not. You know, the best message I ever preached when I thought I didn't do any good preaching. I was preaching for a fellow the other day, and I didn't think it was all that hot. And that fellow just carried on about what I preached, and that's all right, but I didn't think it's all that good myself. But you know, the best you'll ever preach is when you think you're a failure. One fellow came to me the other day and he said, I preached it. I really thought I was a failure. I said, brother, that's probably the best preaching you ever did. Now here's the thing about it. Did you know the Holy Ghost is not for a show? By the way, being filled with the Holy Ghost is not necessarily a shout. I know people that shout, and by the way, I've got nothing wrong with shouting. Amen. I got to shout another day out there in my yard. You say, well, preacher, you're crazy. No, I'm worshiping God. I just come through and got to thinking about something. I forget now what I was thinking about, something in the Lord, how good He was. I just went to shouting, praising God. Amen. I was down there around the trees, and I just to shouting. I like to get out there on my land, just praise the Lord. Amen. I got there the other day, I was a singing to the top of my lung, just singing. I believe I was singing that old song. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. I just got carried away, amen? And that's all right. But let me say, being filled with the Holy Ghost is not for a shout. Being filled with the Holy Ghost is not for a show. Being filled with the Holy Ghost is for service. And you, me, and a God, if you want God on what you're doing, get in some private before you pray. And I'm going to tell you something. Stay prayed up, fellas. Don't wait till you get a place to preach and then start praying. That's what I used to do. Don't do that. Stay full of God all the time. Amen. And brother, even you that are not preachers, when God's got you in the privacy of patience, just like He did Elijah, He slowed him down. Now, Elijah, it was glamorous to go to the king's palace. It was glamorous to go to, I mean, you know, and I don't think Elijah used that to get self-glory, but people could say, boy, you got to talk to the king. But now in private, by the way, the private time was more blessed than the public time. I guarantee you that Elijah had a better time over that the brook than he did at the palace. I guarantee you he did. Amen. Well, we've noticed the precept, we've noticed the protection, and we've noticed now, my friend, the privacy. All right. Now let me say this: God would use this time to refresh Elijah. Now, number four, I want you to notice the provision. While you're waiting on God, God will supply your needs. You say, preacher, I got to do this, I got to do that. No, you just need to be still. I tell you, the most dangerous thing you can do is make a big decision when you're going through a storm. Did you know that? Did you know on a stormy, rainy night when it's pouring rain, it's easy to miss the road? How many times you ever went down the road and it poured rain? You say, well, I miss that road right there. I miss that road right there. Hey, listen, did you know you can miss God's will in a storm and make an instant decision? I made an instant decision. Almost when I was 23 years old. I made a bad decision. I made a decision that was wrong. I made a decision that messed my ministry up. You say, what'd you do? I left a church outside the will of God. I left it. I should never have left that little country church that God put me in to pastor. And I left it, my friend. I made almost an instant decision. Don't ever do that. Wait on God. Slow down. One fellow said, I left my church. Another fellow said to him, he said, well, why? He said, I don't know, I just got up this morning and felt like I ought to leave. Well, when I pastored, I got up every Sunday and felt like I ought to leave. Amen. Somebody said, did you resign on Monday? Honey, I resigned on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Amen. And on Sunday. Amen. I want you to understand something, friend, that pastor's under a lot of pressure. I understand that. But listen, friend, you better be careful. Amen. Number four, I want you to notice the provision. Now, God used an unlikely source, amen, to provide for His prophet. As I said earlier, and God used a supernatural thing. Now, I want to say this to you. God does not do the supernatural when the natural will do. Now, we're living in a day and hour in our churches. We want to see something. You know, that's like the same crowd that Jesus fed with a multitude of fishes and bread. They wanted to see the miracles, but they were not interested in getting their soul saved. That's why there was such a stir. In Mark chapter 2, in Matthew chapter number 9, when that man was let down through the roof and Jesus said, thy sins be forgiven thee. You see, that crowd believed he could do miracles, but they did not believe he could forgive sin. Jesus was more interested in forgiving that man's sin than he was getting that man off the bed. You understand? God is more interested in you being spiritual than anything in the world. And God will provide for you, but God will never do the supernatural where the natural will do. I'll give you illustration. God said for a man to work. He said if a man did not work, he ought not eat. I know where there's a fellow one time, he said, I'm about to starve to death. I said, get you a job and go to work. And he said, God won't let me. Well, he wasn't following the God of the Bible. God said, work, amen. God said, work. And so, God supplies needs naturally. But now, when a man cannot meet his need naturally, then God supplies that need supernaturally. Now, here's what he did. He knew that Elijah was over there. He knew that Ahab was after Elijah. He knew that Ahab would kill Elijah if he got a hold of him. And so God did a supernatural miracle and provided a need. Here we look at it in 1 Kings 17:4. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook. That's natural. And I have commanded, I've already done it, the ravens to sustain thee there. Now wait a minute. Now Elijah is human. The Bible said he's of like passions as we are. Now here is Elijah. And God's already told him to go over there by the brook. And the brook is a runoff of excess rain. And Elijah is not a dumbbell. Elijah's thinking, man, this brook's going to dry up. And now God said to him, by the way, Elijah, I want you to drink of that brook. And I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Or well, he said what he said in the Word of God. I want to add to the Bible. But anyway, so now God used a unnatural means to feed him. Now here's Elijah. Elijah's a Jew. And a raven, if you study the law, the raven was an unclean bird. And here's this Jew now going to get fed by an unclean bird. And boy, I guess he thinks God just don't know what he's doing. Why, Lord, what in the world? What are you doing? I mean, first you tell me to drink a drink of a brook, and this brook's going to dry up one of these days. But now here's this, you're going to feed me with a bunch of ravens? Brother, God can do anything he wants to, anytime he wants to, because he's God. By the way, the raven says this. God can take sinful man and use him to do the work of God. Amen. Somebody said, I just don't understand how God uses people. God uses saints and sinners. Did you know that? Did you know the Bible talked about the wrath of man worketh the righteousness of God? I mean, did you know sometimes God uses the devil's people, amen, to get his job done? Did you know that? God uses world leaders to fulfill his plan. Did you know that? Why, you read the book of Ezekiel, and you're going to find all those nations are going to come down there, and they're going to come at Israel. And one of the leaders of Russia many years ago, he said, what if Russia don't do what your Bible says we're going to do? Well, they're doing exactly what the Bible said they'd do. God said he's going to put hooks in their jaws. Amen. You read Ezekiel. And brother, this Bible is up to date, and God's going to do it. And God said it shall be. It's what he said here in verse number 4. It shall be. There ain't no arguing about it. It's going to be this way. Amen. By the way, you do it God's way or no way. One fellow said, there is here. Amen. You know, God said, go hide thyself there. Well, where was there? There was here. Elijah's address was here. There was no other brook where God was going to feed Elijah or where God was going to send him. Those ravens were programmed. You see, God had GPS a long time before man did. Those ravens were programmed to fly over that certain brook and bring him the food. Amen. Now, I preach this, and I'm not adding to the Word of God. And people laugh at it, but where do you think that those ravens got that food to feed Elijah with? Where do you reckon they got it at? Do you reckon that they got dead meat something had been dead for a year and brought it over there in 6 months and dropped it, and they had a sack of cornmeal with a note from God tied to it and dropped it out of heaven and said, bake it, big boy? No. I don't believe that. I believe God, by the way, anything God does, he does it right. And I've said this story so much, I've got to believe in it myself. But I just about believe what happened was Ahab sitting over there in all his luxury at the palace. And brother, I believe one evening about supper time, they probably had some good steak on the table. Now, they didn't have any pig meat. Those ravens didn't get it because Elijah was a Jew. But I believe they had stuff that Jews eat. Maybe they had some big fish they'd caught. And boy, Ahab's getting ready to sit down to supper, and all of a sudden something goes, ah, ah, and all of a sudden the curtain moves. And all of a sudden, Jezebel's all painted up. She's sitting down probably at the head of the table. She probably wouldn't even let him sit at the head of the table. And she's sitting there. She says, Ahab, look at that dirty bird. Come to get that bird out of here. About that time, that bird makes a dive. He picks up that bowl of biscuits with one claw, that steak with the other claw. Here comes another bird. He comes over and picks that bowl of fish up. Ah! Ah! And Ahab's a-swatting at them birds. And Jezebel's probably up, standing up on the table, a-screaming. And here goes them birds flying out the window. and they come over there to that brook and drop that right in the prophet's lap. You say, preacher, that ain't in the Bible. Well, you tell me how he fed them then. If you got anything better, you tell me. Amen. But I'll say this to you, friend. God will supply the needs of the Lord's people. I've told a story many times on the radio. I've told it down through the years. So many times I've about wore it out. But there's an old atheist lived beside of this lady one time. She is an elderly lady. And she got down to nothing in the house. She didn't have anything. And she got on her knees one day in the summertime. She was praying. Her window was open. She said, "Oh, God," said, "if you want to let me starve to death, it's all right. But I don't have anything to eat. And I'd appreciate it if you'd bring me something to eat." And she is praying. No atheist said, "I'm going to teach that woman a lesson." He went down to the store and got her a loaf of bread. And he come back and threw it through that open window. And that woman was a praying. She heard that bread as it knocked over something as it landed on the floor. And she got up and picked that bread up and she went to shouting. "Woo! Hallelujah! Thank you, Lord!" Then he knocked on the door. She said, "Yes, could I help you?" He said, "Well, Granny, I want to talk to you before you make a fool of yourself." He said, "I want you to understand." He said, "I heard you praying. And I went down the store and I got that loaf of bread and I threw it through your window." And she really went to shouting then. He said, she said, "Whoa, glory to God." He said, "What are you shouting about now, Granny?" She said, "God supplied my need. If he had to use the devil to do it, amen." I want to tell you something right now, friend. Did you realize God is, he owns the cattle of 1,000 hills? And one fella said he owned the taters in the hills. And God will supply your need. The only difference is God may not give you what you want. I don't know what God fed Elijah with. It might not have been what Elijah wanted, but it's what Elijah needed. I don't know, but I know. By the way, when I was waiting on a wife, God supplied my every need. Amen. Years and years I waited to God send me the right wife. Amen. I remember getting in the altars and praying. I was preaching revival meeting in the state of Illinois one time. And I remember getting in that altar, that church. Wasn't nobody there at me. And I got in there and I prayed for a wife and I begged the Lord for a wife. And finally one day God said to me, your prayers have been answered. I'm going to give you a wife. Boy, my eyes shot open. I couldn't believe my ears. The Lord had told me that. I was scared to death. And brother, I tell you right now, in the next year, I was married. Amen. In about 13 months, I was married. And I'm telling you, God knows what he's doing. And everything I've ever waited for has been worth waiting on. Somebody said, "I just don't believe in all that waiting." You know, me and my wife got married. and we just never could find a house. I mean, we looked everywhere for a house, and it wasn't that we didn't have, the bank was in order, the credit was in, everything was in order. We just could not. God would not let us get a house. And for several years, he wouldn't let us get a house. And finally, when God got us exactly where he wanted us, we got a house. And I've never been more thrilled about where I live. I'm glad I waited on it. I'm glad I waited on God. I got exactly what God wanted me to have. And I tell you what, the Bible said in the book of James, every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above. Amen. From the Father of lights, he said, and I'm not quoting that right, but where there's no variableness of shadow turning, I want to be precise in my quoting. Amen. I guess I need to work on my scripture. But, boy, God gives the good gifts. You never heard somebody say this, boy, at Christmas time, they give the best gifts. Well, I'll tell you, 365 days a year, God gives the best ones. Amen. Well, we see the privacy. Amen. And we see the precept. And we see, my friend, the precept. And we see the privacy. And then we see the provision that God has given here, my friend, to Elijah. Amen. And God has a purpose. God was training Elijah. Amen. God had something else because he's getting ready to give Elijah another big test down here in the next few verses, which we're not going to get into. Amen. Well, we've seen the precept, the protection, the privacy, and we've seen now the provision. Let me go on. Number 5, I want you to notice the place. Now, I've really already dealt with this, but I'm going to deal with it now. The Bible said in verse number 4, to feed thee there, the place. Now, I want to say something about this. Now, I want you to listen to me. The place that God has got you in is so important. Now, we live in a day and hour when we live by the flesh. But the Bible said in John 6:63 that the flesh profiteth nothing. He said it is the spirit that quickeneth. And I want to say this, you'll never be happy until you're in the place that God wants you to be in life. Amen? And patience will help you get in that right place. I'm going to say this, I'm glad I stayed in the place with God and got the right wife. I'll say it again. I waited many years on my wife, and I want to say it again. A lot of people get out of their place, they jump ahead of God, And by the way, a lot of preachers do that about taking a church. Well, preacher, you know it's got to be God's will. I don't know it's got to be God's will. People come to the pastor and they'll say, well, I'm getting a new job. Now, preacher, you know it's God's will. No, I don't know it's God's will. Now, preacher, add some more money. God's will is not measured in money. God owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. He said, if I was hungry, I wouldn't tell thee. Why, brother, money means nothing to God. I dazzled a lady the other day. If be dazzled's a word, I be dazzled a lady the other day. I was trying to do a business deal, and my God owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. And I told the lady, I said, ma'am, money means nothing to me. And she got all excited, and she said, well, I'm glad it don't to you, but it does to some of us. Well, it don't to me. I don't work for money. Now, listen, my bills are paid. But you know what I do? I work for the Lord. I work because I want to do the Lord's will. I'm not working for money. I just work for the Lord and trust everything's going to be paid. Now, I'm not doing anything foolish. Amen. I mean, God's always met my need. Why, brother, if God can take a black cow and make it eat green grass and let it give yellow butter and white milk, God can take care of me. I mean, I ain't worried about that, brother. Amen. God, but I got to be in the place. The place is important. Pastor, it does matter where you pastor a church. And by the way, church, if you're without a pastor, it does matter who you get to be your pastor. I believe God's got a man for every church. But I believe today there's so much politics being played when a church gets without a pastor. I honestly, I believe it's worse than the United States presidential election sometimes in churches. And I believe we ought to take time and get on our knees and seek God. You say, but that's just so old-fashioned. No, sir, it's Bible. I believe we ought to say, I want God's will for my life. To find God's will is life's greatest treasure. And to do God's will is life's greatest pleasure. I don't want to do anything God don't want me to do. Somebody said, preacher, you just got to be busy all the time. No, I want to do those things God wants me to. Did you know there's some things God don't want me to do? Did you know there's sometimes God says no? Did you know David wanted to build the temple? And God said no. I mean, David had that idea before Solomon did, and God said no. Preacher, God didn't mean for you to do everything. I mean, it's good that you have zeal, but sometimes zeal outweighs knowledge. God didn't mean for you to have every kind of ministry. Nobody else have none. Why, you preachers ought to work together in an area, and if one man's got a ministry, you ought to have enough courtesy. If he's King James and he's doing it right, you ought to have a different ministry. But we want to have it all in this day and time. You see, because if you have it all, it elevates you to a position of power. But here's the deal. Oh, Elijah was patient. Oh, Elijah was in the very place. Now somebody might would have come by, and some of his fellow prophets, if they could have found him, and said, Elijah, what in the world are you doing over here? Why, Elijah, this ain't the place for you. This ain't going to help your ministry. I mean, being out here in the woods among the weeds and the oak trees and the bears and the lions, why, this not going to help your ministry. Isn't it amazing how man always knows what's going to help your ministry? Did you know I've had men, and I've been saved 44 years. Now, I've been preaching the Word of God I'll be 38 years this coming fall. I'll be preaching the Word of God. And did you know I have had men over the years try to talk me out of the will of God? I've had preachers try to talk me out of the will of God. I know in one instance, probably more if I thought about it. I try to talk me out of the will of God. Well, you need to do it this way. I need to do it exactly the way God tells me to do it. I need to do it exactly the way God's Word says do it. Amen. Remember David out there. Little David. Young boy. David probably 17, 18 year old. He goes out to the army, you know, of course, they're fighting, and Goliath has defied Israel for 40 days. 40 is a number of testing. And David's had about enough of that. And David said, I'll go fight this fella. And David kept asking him, you know, what would he get? And, of course, Saul, he tricked him. I mean, David was supposed to have Saul's oldest daughter, and he didn't get her. And Saul tricked him out of that. But David said, what will you give me if I kill this man, and then Saul brought him over there and armed him. You remember that? And Saul put his helmet on him. That's false education. And Saul put that big sword in his hand. That's a false Bible. And Saul put that big coat on him. That's religion. And old David had it made. Boy, I mean, he had him an education, Dr. David. And he had him that false Bible. Boy, he was going to go at it. Boy, I mean, he's one of these modernistic fellas, and he's going to go and that's what he looked like. He really wasn't in his heart. And David stopped. You see, Saul was all about the flesh. Saul never sought God. And by the way, our churches are being run, a lot of them, in the flesh. And God will let you run it in the flesh if you'll run it. Preacher, what you got to realize is God will let you preach in the flesh every Sunday if you want to do it. He will. He will not force you to be filled with the Spirit. God will not knock you on the head and get you to pray before you go to the pulpit. But David stopped. He said, I cannot go with these. He said, I've not tried them. I've not proved these. He laid them off of him. Brother, we need to lay the things of this world off of us. The world says to our preacher boys, if you'll just come down to the seminary and get you a big education, get you a big doctor's degree hanging on your name, you can go places. Well, I'm not against a doctor's degree, but I'm going to say this to you. One fellow said, amen, it's just like a pig's tail. It may put a curl on the pig's tail, but don't put any more ham on the bone. Let me say this about that. I'm not so much interested in the doctors of our day. One fellow said we ought to get the doctors back in the hospital and put the preachers back in the pulpit. I'm not so interested in that as I am a man walking with God. I'd rather see a man has hardly no education, have the power of the Holy Ghost on him, and he's waiting on God, and be in the place. If you want the patience of God, and you want the end result of what God's going to do for your life, you got to be in the very place God wants you to be. There's some folk right now, you're in the wrong church. There's some folk right now, you got the wrong job. You didn't wait on God. You're in a mess. There's some folk, you took a promotion, and you thought he'd be better, and you know what? Your life is suffering spiritually for it. I heard my pastor tell a story some time ago about when he pastored a different church, that he had a man in his church. Man was a prominent fella in the community. Man was I won't say even what profession the man was in, but he was in a prominent profession. And this man came to the pastor and he said, Pastor, now I'm going to get a promotion where I'm working, and it's only going to take me out of church one Sunday a month. And the pastor said, I wouldn't do that, brother. I wouldn't do that if I was you. I wouldn't do that. Oh, but it's just one Sunday a month. The pastor said, before you know it, that man got to missing church, and he was only coming one Sunday a month. He said, before you know it, he moved his family to another church. He didn't elaborate on it too much, but the way he told the story, that family just probably fell apart. Let me tell you something. The devil's out there to get your home, and he'll use money to do it. Right now, the way things are, as of the time I'm preaching this message, gas is high as it's ever been. And the devil will use money on people to get them where he wants them. But I'd rather be in the place with God and eat from God's table. Elijah ate from God's table and drunk from God's brook and stayed in God's place. And he was patient about the patience of Elijah. You know what? Elijah could have jumped and run. Elijah could have said, God, I've had enough of this. I'm going somewhere else. Elijah could have went back over there and said, Ahab, I was wrong. It's going to rain. Just forget all I ever said. I mean, I'd like to get on your staff and be one of your prophets, maybe, and be one of your chaplains here in the palace, if it'd be all right. Well, you know those fellows having it better than Elijah was. You know, the devil works on preachers. I don't know if he does y'all not, but he works on me. Well, this fellow's having it better than you, and that preacher's having it better than you, and that one's having it better than you. Well, listen, it don't matter who's got it the best and who ain't. I just got to be in the place where God's put me. Well, the Bible talked about a bird getting out of his place. You get out of your place, you're going to get in a trap. Amen. The place was that brook. And by the way, God was not obligated to take care of Elijah anywhere else except that brook. God's not obligated to take care of me if I get outside of the will of God. Number six. I want you to notice number six. I'm going to move on with this. The patience of Elijah. Number six. I want you to notice the period. Look at verse number five. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. He had a period he dwelt there. Now, I don't know how long you have to wait for God to do certain things in your life. That's between God. That's up to God. By the way, God's got the world in his hands. You say, preacher, I've been waiting a long time, and I'm a young man. I've been waiting a long time to get married. Sir, I was 40 before I got married. By the way, I'm not going to look back on my life and be bitter at God because he let me wait all those years. I want to thank God. I've got a wife that's with me. I've got a wife that is in this ministry. I've got a wife that has said, if something ever happened to you, I want to see this thing. I hope it carries on. I want it to go forward, the radio ministry, and I hope it does. And let me say to you, when you got a wife like that, and by the way, on top of that, I got one that can drive, and I got one that can cook, so I figure I got the best in the deal. Amen. I got the best one God had. Amen. And brother, I don't know how long your period is. Ladies, some of you may be where you can't have a child. And boy, you prayed about that. I don't know how long God's going to make you wait on that. You remember Hannah in the Bible? Hannah couldn't have a child. So Elkanah, he just got tired of waiting on God, so he went and got him another wife. He's going to help her out a little bit, amen? He misinterpreted Genesis, you know. He's reading about Ishmael and Abraham, I guess. But anyway, because he knew the law. But he got him another wife. That didn't work out too good. Why, that other wife, she wasn't nothing but trouble. She caused trouble. And she caused Hannah trouble. Boy, Hannah'd cry. But Hannah decided one day, she's going to turn that burden over to the Lord. And Hannah got on her knees before God, and she prayed, and God said, I'm going to give you a child. And boy, the Bible said she got up and eat and drank, and her countenance was okay then. Amen. I mean, God done give her the answer. When God gives you the answer, there ain't no need in sorrowing about it. Amen. I'll never forget that morning in North Georgia when God said to me, I'm going to give you a wife. There's never been a morning like that morning in the life of me. Amen. I mean, other than the day I got saved, I guess. But there ain't never been a morning like that morning. I mean, brother, I'll tell you what, God just flooded my soul that morning. And brother, there's other things that God's told me about. God told me I was going to get my first church. Wasn't one thing wrong with that. That church had a pastor. God told me in February, he said, you're going to be the pastor of such and such church. And sometime in May, the pastor resigned. I said, oh, well, maybe God's going to work it out. And then somebody said, well, the pastor decided to take it back. And he stayed a while. And then in July, he resigned for good. And then one night, my daddy was going to that church. I wasn't. My daddy was. I was going to a different church. Daddy came home and just, he never said a word, just handed me a key. And I said, what's this key for? He said, that's the church van. That unlocks the door. He said, you're our new fill-in pastor. What y'all call an interim pastor. They'd have called them supply pastors back in my day. I didn't know anything about that. All I knew is God was true, and God, whoo, let God be true and every man a liar. I don't know how long the period is, but the period will end one day. You say, preacher, you don't understand what I went through. No, sir, I don't claim to. There's some of you went through things I'll never go through. I think sometimes I'm going through trials, and then I hear about people's got cancer, and maybe the man's got cancer, and the wife's got dementia, and boy, they're having an awful time. I think, Lord, they sure are having a whole lot harder than I am. Let me tell you something. I don't know how long that period is, but I know what the psalmist said. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. Amen. Well, let me go on. Let me close out with this. Amen. The period. And then I want you to notice the problem. The problem. Here's the problem. Now I want you to look at this. Amen. The problem. Verses 6 and 7 says, and he drank of the brook. Verse number 7 says, and it came to pass after a while, that's your period, a while, that the brook dried up. Because there had been no rain in the land. Now, here's the problem. Actually, I got one more after this. Here's the problem. Now, this Elijah goes down there every day, and he sees the brook is drying up. But Elijah can't do anything about that if he wants to follow God, because God hasn't told him anything. I want to say this. Don't do anything about anything unless God tells you what to do. And when you don't know what to do, don't do anything. So one day, Elijah goes to get that water, and that brook is completely dried up. Then, and only then, did God move and fix the problem. And I want to say this, God fixes problems on His time, not ours. God meets needs on His time, not ours. God gives gifts on His time, and not ours. You see, it all matters of whether you're going to follow the flesh or you're going to follow God. And I have decided, 100%, I'm going to follow the will of God. I promise you on that. If I tell you the will of God's for something, you better believe I prayed about it. Because I know I'm going to know the will of God before I do it. Number 8, I want you to notice number 8. And I want to show you this one. I want you to notice the person. You see, it all matters about the person. I'm not talking about Elijah. I'm talking about the Lord. 1 Kings 17:8. Now, after the brook had dried up, Elijah goes down there one day. The brook's dried up. Now, notice verse number 8. 1 Kings 17:8, the Bible says, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, did you know the word of the Lord's going to always be there? God fixed that problem by the word of the Lord. And in the next verse, he told him, I want you to go to Zarephath. He said, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Did you know where Zarephath was? Zarephath, well, let me just read that verse. Verse number 9 says, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon. And dwell there, behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Now, that's a whole other message. I'm not going to get into that today. But did you know that Elijah was going to go. God was going to put him out there 100 miles in the open desert from that brook to Zarephath. It was 100 miles, they say. And when he got there, Zarephath was 8 miles from Zidon. And secular history, I guess, tells us who lived in Zidon was Jezebel's daddy. And he was the head Baal worshiper. Now, we know that. He was the head Baal. And God said, I'm going to hide you. Now, 8's the number of a new beginning. Hold on. And God said, I'm going to hide you right under the nose of old Mr. Jezebel, old Father Jezebel, amen, whatever his name is, Jezebel's daddy. And he said, nobody think, look there. I'm going to hide you right there, amen. Now, you know what? God came right on time, and the Word of God came right on time. You say, preacher, I got problems. Get in the Bible. I had a little thing come up this the other day. It bothered me. It didn't bother God. It shouldn't have bothered me. But I had a little thing come up. You know, me being flesh, I kind of whined and fussed a little bit about it. And God said, son, you read this and thus. He told me where to read in the Bible. Now, some of y'all don't believe this, but he told me where to read. And I sat there and read where he told me, and God showed me what I need to know. Now, I'll tell you something, friend. I believe you ought to follow the Lord. Amen. The patience of Elijah. You know what? It paid off. God, Elijah did not make one move. That brook was drying up every day, but Elijah didn't make a move until it completely dried up. Preachers, can I ask you, have you made a move too soon? Sometimes you can go back and fix it. Sometimes you can't. How many preachers have I heard of said, I left that church out of the will of God. I left that church out of the will of God. Preacher, I got upset. I got angry. I got discouraged. Listen, you got to learn to control your emotions. And I know that pastoring is going to be harder than it was 30 years ago. I understand that. But you've got to learn to control yourself. You got to stay in prayer. Stay with God. You say, boy, I prayed for a wife and all my friends are getting married. And I prayed for a husband and all my friends are getting married, preacher. And I don't want to be an old woman and not be married. You wait on God. And God will give you the right person at the right time. I'm telling you, God's on time every time, friend. The patience of Elijah. Hope this message has helped you. Now, friend, if you're lost, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then if you're saved today, I beg you, wait on the Lord. Just in every decision in life. Maybe I didn't touch your situation today, but you wait on the Lord. Father, I love you. I want to say thank you for letting me wait all these years for things. Lord, for different things that you've blessed me, thank you for the wait. I've learned so much by the patience and the teaching of the Holy Ghost. And Lord, I glorify you in being in your right place. Radio is my place. It's one of my places, Lord, and I believe you can use me doing other things, but radio is my place. And Lord, I want to thank you for letting me be in my place. Lord, I almost left it. And Lord, many times I've been discouraged with it. But Lord, I'm glad I stayed with it, and thank you for blessing me. And now bless these people, uplift some saint, and encourage them through this message. In Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen.